To the K.
Coming up tonight on the Ringside Report.
We have... Sorry. Triple H undergoes heart surgery after suffering a cardiac event. We have Kevin Owens' contract set to expire soon. We have Angel Garza teasing news coming soon to W... Oh, what? Hang on. Teases news coming soon on WWE Future. Yeah. I'm great at reading, I'll tell you that much. We have Kenny Omega ranked number one on PWI's 500 list for a second time. We have Ric Flair set to show up on AEW soon. We have an update on who WWE wanted Adam Cole to manage in the role that they offered before he decided to leave. We have Brian Cage's wife complaining that AEW are misusing him. We have a former WWE star, Al Snow, saving a boy from drowning. We have AEW Dark getting a new home at Universal Orlando, much to Carl's excitement. We have WWE stars unhappy at women's tag team match being cut from SmackDown due to lack of time. That's a hell of a title. And lastly, we have Samoa Joe having to vacate the NXT title due to bullshit. Due to sorry, it might not be a story. Apologies. So, should we kick it off, Carl? Do you want to tell us what happened to Triple H this week?
Yeah, a bit of a somber one to kick off with, unfortunately. So it was revealed via WWE official sources that Triple H underwent some heart surgery last week. So it's been described as him suffering from a cardiac event. He underwent a successful procedure at the Yale New Haven Hospital in New Haven, Connecticut last week. Yeah, apparently it was due to a genetic heart condition, which obviously isn't ideal. But yeah, you know, apparently he is expected to make a full recovery, and hopefully we will see him soon. But yeah, this one was, it kind of scared me a little bit, to be honest. It's like, I started thinking, obviously, of everyone we've lost in the wrestling world already at this point. You know, certainly some of my favourites of all time. You know, I started watching it properly in 1992. You know, so the amount of people who've come and gone, you know, is really kind of sobering already in the world. But, you know, you start to think, like, what about the ones that you, as you were growing up and you can remember fully without having to go back and watch these kind of matches and stuff to remind yourself? And it's like, well, yeah, imagine the day, you know, we lose the likes of Triple H. So, you know, luckily... it seems like he's fine. He will make a, you know, full recovery. You know, a shame, obviously, that it's a genetic condition that he's suffering with and stuff like that. I think, you know, a lot of people straight away jumped on it, you know, very negative, as you get in the wrestling world, of like, oh, it's all the steroids he's had and, you know, stuff like that, and trying to make a fucking, you know, just say horrible shit. But
I don't, like, apologies if I'm going to say this a little bit too crass, but, like, how old's the guy now? Like, late 40s, early 50s, right?
He must be nearly 50 now, yeah.
Yeah, so he spent most of his career with, like, almost a superhuman physique, right? If the steroids were going to get him, they'd have fucking got him. Like, all due respect. Like, I'm not, I'm trying to say it as with as much respect as possible. Like, you can try and, like, think you're like, oh, it'll be like the abuse he's put in his body. I'm not being funny. That that guy's been, like, an absolute fucking monster of a man. Even when he went in the ring, like, he's always looked at that sort of physique. For a long time, he puts the work in, and you know, like you say, you can't just go, well, it'd be the steroids, because, like,
no,
at the end of the day, like, it's not like, I don't know, we've seen that kind of shit over the years in wrestling, and
well, exactly.
I'm not saying he hasn't or doesn't do them, but at the end of the day, he's you know, he's got into his 40s and looks healthier than most 30-year-olds, so.
Well, there you go. You know, it's almost like there's a lack of sensitivity in the wrestling community. But, you know, from us, as, you know, from A to the K, obviously big fans of Triple H, and,
indeed,
you know, got all the time in the world for him. So hopefully he makes a speedy recovery and we get to see him back soon doing what he does best. So, yeah, just a bit of a sad one to kick off the show with. But, yeah, wishing Triple H all the best after the cardiac event and the surgery he's had.
I think, again, we don't want to sort of pull away from, because, like you say, all we want to do is say, you know, like, we wish him the best. But I think to sort of delve back into what we mentioned last week, a lot of people are suggesting that this event and this surgeon and what he's had to go through is the reason that why we've had Vince McMahon taking over on NXT and these emergency meetings, and it's not necessarily been a reaction to AEW, it's been a reaction to Triple H, which would make a bit of sense, to be honest.
Yeah, who knows at this point? Obviously, it's all speculation, conjecture. No one really is close to the situation, but all we know and all that's been confirmed is that he has had to undergo some surgery for, you know, a cardiac event, and hopefully he, yeah, is fully on the mend and he gets back to being the game and fighting fit, and we get to see him again soon.
Indeed. Indeed. So, the next one, Carl. Make of this what you will. So, you may recall some time ago, I want to say back in 2018, Kevin Owens mentioned in an interview that he'd signed with WWE for a further 5 years, which would have put him in the company until early 2023. However, Fightful Select... No, not Fightful. Why have I put an R in there? Fightful Select. I don't know. I don't even know anymore. Fightful Select, right, have recently reported that Kevin Owens' contract is actually due to expire in January 22. And on top of that, there's a suggestion that he may be looking elsewhere from a hint that he's put on his social medias referencing his former Mount Rushmore stable, which was with Adam Cole and the AEW tag champs, the Young Bucks. So let's do the usual rumour mill that happens when people's contracts are about to expire. Could we see Kevin Owens in AEW?
I'd fucking like to. And also, they're the former tag champs, because Lucha.
Apologies. I should show that respect, because like that was fucking awesome.
And so good.
Yeah, awesome tag team. And I'm so glad that that happened.
No, I think, obviously, I wasn't privy to the Mount Rushmore kind of stable and stuff like that. Like, we weren't watching that kind of thing at that time. But it seems almost like AEW is starting to bring back Ring of Honor of old. You know, and by all accounts, Ring of Honor back then was fantastic. You've gone on to see all the talent go all over the world and go on to be super successful. So if we get to a point where there's shitload of eyeballs on, you know, the likes of Kenny Omega, the Young Bucks, Adam Cole, Kevin Owens, CM Punk, Bruno Bryan Danielson, like, holy shit, Paul. So, yeah, I would love to see Kevin Owens in AEW. I'm not going to lie, he's one of my favourites, and he's been used piss poorly by WWE, so bring it on.
I think, yeah. Again, he's one of them who typically, he's not the body type WWE. Like, he's had opportunities that almost defy that. I know people and plenty of people are like, oh, what, so he's had world title runs and he's done this and he's done that. Yes, he has been given opportunities in WWE. I'm not going to disrespect that, but he is not the body type that Vince McMahon likes. And ultimately, I think right now, if you look what he's doing, and I think that is indicative of what WWE's mentality is at the moment, they're not going to sign any more indie talent. They're not interested in your Kevin Owens types, especially right now. I think, yeah, a move to AEW or similar would be definitely a good shout.
Yeah, AEW, preferably. But yeah, I would love to see it. So fingers crossed it happens, and fingers crossed it's the right thing for him as well, because that's what it comes down to.
I mean, could we see it, like, if they string it out till January, could we see Adam Cole and the Young Bucks turn on Kenny with a debuting Owens, and we do get that resurgence of that team?
Well, it says his contract is up in January, so he probably still has a 90-day, unless he fucked it up again.
No, I think if the contract expires, I don't think he's held to a 90-day. I think that's just if they release him.
Well, there you go. Even better. So, yeah, maybe. That would be fucking awesome if that's the case.
I could be wrong. It's just when you look at the likes of Daniel Bryan and the like.
Well, Adam Cole.
Their contractors. Adam Cole. And I think the 90-day comes from the fact that they are releasing them early from the agreed contract. So they're going to... I don't know if they necessarily... Like, it's because of the payment, but essentially they're looking after them on a level, money-wise. So they're saying to them, well, you, for that reason, you can't compete for 90 days. So I don't think it applies when the contract just expires.
Yeah.
Could be wrong.
Interesting. Then. But yeah, I mean, I would love to see it.
My knowledge of contract law, so.
Kevin Steen, maybe All Elite, somewhat soon. Another rumoured one, Anthony. So Angel Garza has potentially dropped a bit of a tease. I don't know what you make of this. I ain't buying it. So, Garza, people were kind of speculating because he posted a tweet which had a like a sand timer and some like eyes emoji, as if to say, like, you know, time soon, and like no one really TikTok. Knew what that meant. TikTok. So he posted that, and people were like, "Ooh, what does this mean? Does that mean his contract's expiring and stuff like that?" But then a couple of days later, he also posted something along the lines of, "I haven't got the tweet open, but it was something like." Do you want some good news? And it was like, oh, and that added even more fuel to the fire. But then I'm pretty sure he posted a video not too long ago of him in the ring at a live event. So part of me is thinking maybe it just meant he was returning from like injury or something.
Yeah, I'm not even sure where he's been.
Well, I mean, I don't know, but if he hasn't been used, maybe it is from like an injury. So maybe the good news is the fact he's healed, he's cleared, and he's back in the ring. Or, you know, if you're a bit of a conspiracy theorist, it means he's going to AEW because that's what everything means at this point.
He's one who I'd rather he stick with WWE.
Me too.
I think he's got a ton of potential. I don't think he yet, and I don't think he'd have a better place than WWE to do that. I don't think, and this is where I've always said, just because I'm a fan of AEW doesn't mean I want everyone to sign there. I don't think he's an AEW guy. I think he'd be a WWE guy with the right amount of time and creative behind him.
I think as well, rightly or wrongly, I think he is potentially going to be built up as the next Eddie Guerrero. The writing seems to be on the wall with it.
I can kind of see that. I hope they don't lean too heavily into that because he needs to stand on his own. And I think people might even resent the comparisons if they're too overt. But I can totally see why they'd make that comparison.
He's already got the rose and stuff, hasn't he? And you know, he's only a mamacita away from trying to be a fucking Latino heat at this point. So, but yeah, I think you know, by all accounts, Vince likes him. Vince sees a comparison between him and Eddie. So, yeah, I think he'll do fine in WWE. You know, he needs a bit of work, and I'm sure they will develop him. I wouldn't want to see him in AEW personally. I think he'd get lost in the shuffle. But,
yeah, I agree.
Yeah, totally I think agree. He could be something if he works on his charisma and, you know, stuff in WWE. Yeah, I could see it going good for him.
Indeed. Speaking of wrestlers who are doing good, next one I've got, Carl, is one Kenny Omega has been ranked this year's number one wrestler on the PWI 500 list. This is the second time for the man having been listed number one back in 2018. He's consistently been in the top 10, but number one in 2018 and number one again in 2021, closely followed by Roman Reigns. Now, there's been quotes saying a lot of people have talked about the whole, you know, Roman Reigns, Omega debate. And, you know, they've even out and out said, like, you know, any other year, Roman Reigns would have been number one, but this is Kenny's year. So quite a bold statement from PWI as well. But what do you make of this? I mean, he's been killing it, really. I know, again, we've probably not been overly enamoured with some of the stuff he's done, but consistently he's done some fantastic work this year. He's been great for AEW. And, you know, well, it's a tough one. Like, there's definitely going to be people who think Roman deserves it, but there's people who don't know half the wrestlers on that list as well. So, you know.
Yeah, it's hard for me to say because I don't know what the judging criteria is. What I do know is it has started a lot of fucking, you know, WWE versus AEW debate. You know, I've seen like multiple threads on. No, it should be Roman Reigns because he's this. He's
the Will Ospreay's on there, or anything like that. It's just now WWE versus AEW.
Of course it is. But yeah, so it's definitely opened the chain of communication between how, you know, oh, it should definitely be Roman Reigns. He's the best. He's the biggest star. Blah blah blah. You've got a lot of WWE fanboys hating on Kenny.
I think
you've got a lot of AEW fanboys hating on Roman. So.
But these people, they need to consider the criteria, like you say, because the criteria isn't just who's bigger. Otherwise, WWE talent would always win because they have a bigger platform and they are more household names. Like, more people will know Roman Reigns than they would know Kenny Omega. Just if you randomly ask people.
I mean, it's an interesting comparison, isn't it? Because by all accounts, you look at the pair of them and there's no denying Kenny Omega is a better wrestler than Roman. It just is, right? Yeah. Roman's got Superman punch and a fucking hoorah, and that's about all he's got, right?
Yeah.
But his character development...
He's never been, like, the most gifted in the ring.
Yeah. No, his character development over the last year has been phenomenal, and he's been the biggest thing in WWE. So there's a massive argument to make there as well. But on the flip side, Kenny has done, you know, a lot of people don't get it and think he's a bit of a joke and he's a bit cartoony, and we've even questioned it a few times ourselves. But by and large, his heel work has been pretty solid in AEW, so... You know, it's one of them. I think it's probably the right choice. Kenny probably does deserve it. I think Roman's had a hell of a year, but, you know, he still needs to do a bit more for me in the ring, Roman. He's he's fantastic, you know, from a character standpoint and stuff, but he's probably the only main good thing in WWE at the minute, so he's definitely pulling his weight. He's definitely the next megastar of WWE. But...
I think it's a fair comment from PWI as well to say that any other year he would have been number one. Like, you know, just to be that close to number one and to be pipped just slightly by someone who, you know, arguably fits more of the boxes, because they're not just looking at who's got the bigger platform. They're looking at, like, technical skill and, you know, every element of being a wrestler, really. You know, they've saw fit to name Kenny, but that's not to say that, you know, Roman weren't hot on his heels. And like you say, in any other case, probably would have been number one. He's definitely had a fantastic year, but, you know, and at the end of the day, it's their choice, isn't it? So. And it one is. I agree with, by the way, but that's just because I'm an AEW fanboy. I'm a mark, so whatever.
So the next one to talk about, speaking of AEW, is Ric Flair, you know, imminently heading over to AEW. Speculation originally kind of arose on this when he showed up at the AAA show in Andrade's Corner. But as we know, spoilers if you've not seen it, but on Rampage this week, after Andrade beat Pac with the help of Chavo, Andrade seemed to turn on Chavo afterwards and basically beat him up. And then, you know, Pac and the Lucha Brothers ended up just beating the shit out of him as well in the ring. So it seems as though potentially Chavo and Andrade are done after quite a short run together. But Uncle Dave of Wrestling Observer Radio has quoted himself. Well, he's been quoted. He hasn't quoted himself. He probably has. But he's been quoted as saying, he got rid of Chavo, and since he's only been there a couple of weeks, that makes me feel if they're going to replace him, they're going to replace him with the Nature Boy, which I'm sure if Andrade has Flair in his corner and he's motivated to wrestle, then he's going to be a big freaking star. So, yeah, I mean, you know, Rick is without contract.
I don't mind the idea. Like, I think it'll, for me, it'll be like a real, what's the word? It'll feel really strange because Rick is so ingrained with WWE for me. Like, there's plenty of people who'd be like, he's a WCW guy and so on like that. But,
or an NWA guy.
Or an NWA guy.
Or an Impact guy. Or you're talking nonsense.
Yeah, he's been everywhere. No, exactly. But it'd almost feel really weird for me because of, like, he's so big in WWE that it's almost strange to have him in AEW. I mean, you could argue the same for Brian and Punk, I suppose, but, like, I think other than the fact that Andrade seems to be going through managers, like, faster than underwear, like, I don't know. It might be probably the only criticism I give it. It probably is a good shout. I really love the pairing with Chavo, mostly because I haven't seen Chavo in a time and I thought that was ace. But, you know, he was there with what was it, AAA? Triple Mania, wasn't it, where Rick was with him? So I think I can understand why people are expecting that to be the case. And yeah, I'm totally for it if it happens. Like,
yeah, I mean, for me, selfishly, I think I would like Rick to go to AEW if he can as a manager, just because the last memories I've got of him, really, you know, other than the brief thing in AAA and NWA the past week, the last mainstream memories is, you know, him crying at ringside, like, constantly for, like, stuff with Charlotte and, or, like, the Lacey Evans thing and stuff.
Lacey Evans, yeah. Impregnating, so, Lacey Evans, yeah.
You know, if he can go to AEW and be given a bit of respect and, you know, finish out his career as a proper top heel manager, then I would be all for that. But we'll see. I think, at the end of the day...
You might have seen some pictures emerged of him catching the train over to AEW, so...
it wasn't him. He's come out and said it wasn't him. He's a happily married man. It was not
exactly what he's saying.
No defamation of character here. But no, I don't know. I think I would be all for it. I would like to see him there.
I think I said this last week, but I could very much see it because I think what he wanted from WWE, and he said he parted on good terms with WWE, but they couldn't basically reach an agreement on what his future would look like. They had different visions for that. And then obviously we saw him in NWA, and it was clear that he wanted to be able to have a bit more flexibility about where he showed up, because I don't think that'd be the last time we see him in NWA, if I'm honest. And I think seeing him in AEW, and I said this last week, possibly the week before, doesn't necessarily mean he's going to be All Elite, but he's got the freedom to appear there and appear in NWA, appear wherever the fuck he feels like, to be honest. And I think that's how they're going to do it. And he might back Andrade, and he might show up on a few AEWs, but I don't think he'll ever be signed to AEW. I still stand by that.
Yeah, I mean, you know, he's got a lot of history as well in AEW with the likes of Sting, with the likes of Tully and stuff like that as well. So, you know, it would lead to some interesting kind of stare downs and stuff going on after number of years. So yeah, if it happens, I would definitely be a fan of it. But yeah,
do you think they'll move into a feud with Arn and his son?
Who knows at this point?
Andrade could beat up Brock, and then
maybe. yeah, remains to be seen. But yeah, if he comes back, I'm all for it. Obviously, love the Nature Boy, so woo. That's what I'm gonna say to them.
Well, is that what you're gonna say if he turns up?
Woo. It's like a really long, slow woo, probably just for the whole of Rampage or Dynamite.
So, Carl, the next one. I'm interested to see what you make of this. So, obviously, we saw Adam Cole rock up on AEW. Mm-hmm. This was shortly after he saw out his temporary extension of his contract to finish TakeOver. Couldn't reach an agreement with WWE, and he is now All Elite. And a lot of people have been like, what's gone on there? Why are they going to reach an agreement? How dare he betray WWE? He should be burned at the stake. You know, the usual ICW IWC stuff, sorry. So it's come out now. In fact, it's been reported by... Who reported it? It was Dave Meltzer, confirmed on the
Observer Radio. Bullshit then. We'll move on.
So Dave Meltzer confirmed on the Wrestling Observer Radio that apparently WWE's plan was to turn him heel and have him as a heel manager. So bring him to the main roster and pair him up with Keith Lee. Keith Lee being a monster heel and Adam Cole being his manager, which in itself is kind of baffling because this is someone who can still go in the ring. And I mean, he clearly didn't have any desire to because he left, but like, why would you want to move him to more of a managerial role? That doesn't make any sense. And I don't know if Keith necessarily needed a manager. He might have needed better storytelling or some more time in the ring, but didn't necessarily need a manager. And plus, do you think we're getting an awful lot of this monster heel with a manager things if they actually went through with that as well? Because there's no saying Keith's not going to turn up with someone else now.
Mm-hmm.
But... I don't know, felt a little bit overdone as well. What do you make of this? This seems like a really odd choice to make for Adam Cole in particular.
I wonder why he decided to leave and sign with AEW. Like, are you fucking shitting me? What a slap in the face to Adam Cole. I think, you know, fine. I've said it myself. I didn't see him on the main roster because he doesn't fit today. What the kind of side, you know, Adam Cole, you know, main eventer against Drew McIntyre. It's not going to work, right? It's not going to work, right? Nope. But... even more so now, they've come out and said that they want to, they're not really bothered about, you know, these indie darlings or these, you know, independent wrestlers who are resonating with the fans. It's more around, you know, guys who have got the body or the look or something and they can basically teach them how to wrestle after, because they're not a wrestling company, Anthony. They are an entertainment company. So if you look
WWE
good...
WWE have got a really good history of getting someone who can't fucking wrestle and teaching them how to wrestle after. That has always worked really well for WWE. Honestly, it's never been a problem, ever.
But yeah, so, you know, if you... To be honest, I think they are going to go after this and they're going to do it in like a twofold thing. They're going to hire people who either look fucking amazing but can't do anything else, or they're going to get people who are fucking absolute charisma machines, but they might not be... you know, the biggest body or whatever, but they'll have some sort of blend. I think that's the only way to do it. But
era of managers.
But I feel like, for whatever reason, they are so against getting people from the independent scene. They want to craft talent in the WWE style so badly. And it's like, well, what is that style anymore? Like, what is WWE anymore? I honestly don't know what it stands for or what it even is. So, I
mean, when was who was the last homegrown talent that did well? Like, when they're making such a bold step, like, and Roman's only just done well. You know, if you put him on the main roster for 10 years, then he'll come into his own eventually. Like, it's not really a great testament for their homegrown talent. And that's not to say that the Performance Center is fantastic. Some of the people training and working there with them are fantastic. But there's something to be said for the indie talents they were signing.
Yeah. I mean, to be fair, you know, back in the day, that's what happened, wasn't it? Is, you know, they didn't go and bring in a lot of guys from independent scenes and stuff because there wasn't really an independent scene. There was WCW and there was WWE, and they may have got a couple of WCW cast-offs, but other than that, they just basically found guys and trained them up. You know, the likes of Test and Albert and fucking, you know, loads of them. and they just basically train them all up and put them on TV as their own guys. They haven't done that in forever because the ethos did change, you know, probably influenced by the likes of Triple H and so on, is let's go out and get the likes of, you know, a Samoa Joe or an Adam Cole or a Kevin Owens or a Seth Rollins and these guys who are big stars in the indies, Sami Zayn, and bring them in and we'll get them to work. But, you know, to your point, who is the last homegrown talent who wasn't on the indies?
Yep.
Legit can't remember.
There's certainly, you know, you might not even be far off with Roman.
There's certainly nobody who, like Big E, maybe? Is he homegrown? I don't think he did the indies, so maybe. But I'm not a fan of him. So, yeah.
I like how you managed to get that in there again.
I know, yeah. Also, I'm not bitter, honestly.
I mentioned, fuck Big E.
I think it's important I really make this clear. Big E is a guy, as a human being, is a wonderful guy. Hate his character. So, yeah. Come on the show. Discuss it. Come on. Come on the show, Big E. Let's debate this.
yeah, I'm all for that. He's just going to tell you one thing. Don't you dare be sour.
Oh, you motherfucker.
I beat you through it.
I was about to say, and just don't you dare be sour when you come on the show. So interesting shizzle right there with Adam Cole and Keith Lee. In terms of the next one, so we are talking about the one and only Brian Cage. And his wife has been saying some things this past week. So Melissa Santos, his wife, has come out and said, you know, Brian Cage is a superstar. These people who know him from the indies, from Impact, from Lucha Underground, where I met him, know that he's a superstar. All you have to do is Google him and watch all his matches, even PWG. He's a superstar and he's being misused right now. So this has, of course, given all the anti-AW fanboys a field day, basically, of going, oh, it begins, oh, the guy's roster's too big and everyone's... I don't know. Is he being underutilized? Probably.
No.
I think,
and this is no disrespect to her, but I think her mentality at the minute, consider how long he's been there, right, and he's held the FTW championship, he's been sort of pushed by Taz, he's had some decent feuds in the time he's been there, the company's not even that old, and what is it, so anything less than a world title run, he's being underused, like, what else does she want? He's been more prominent than a lot of people on the roster, and there's still plenty of time for him to be built up, but we have got a stacked roster, like, and again, you don't need everyone on the TV all the time. I don't think for the just over two years that AEW has been around, I don't think he's been utilized bad at all, personally.
I mean, he's definitely had a lot of screen time, hasn't he? And, you know, as you say, yeah. he was the FTW champion and stuff like that. I think, you know, he is a rare talent. He is some, and I've said this before, he's almost out of character for AEW. If you look at the rest of the roster, he is someone who has got a hell of a physique, but is also a super, you know, talented high flyer almost, you know, considering his size. So he is a once-in-a-lifetime kind of talent. Charisma could do with a little bit of work, not going to lie.
I'd agree with that.
But to your point, he's been an FTW champion. He was the head honcho pretty much of Team Taz. They've done a bit of a thing with him and Ricky Starks, so they've had a bit of a falling out. And at the minute, he's not really doing much, but that doesn't mean he won't. Like,
it's a shame, though, because it feels like the criticism comes like literally just after he's finished a feud with Ricky Starks and he's not gone into something else, so naturally he's not being used. And it's like, calm down. Give it a minute. You know what I mean? Like, he can't... like. I'm sure they're going to book him into the stuff. He is definitely a massive talent, but again, like, I kind of resent the whole thing. I'm like, all you have to do is watch 700 hours of his previous matches and you'll see how talented he is. It's like, nah, I'm going to stick with seeing him on AEW and seeing him shine that way, to be honest with you. Like, I appreciate that he's a super talented guy, but I shouldn't have to see that much history and that much backstory to know that. So let's just carry on maybe building him up in AEW. I think personally, I just think the comments may be a bit premature.
Yeah, I mean, he was like a regular, wasn't he? He was a regular feature. He's had feuds with everybody, you know, recently with Darby, obviously the destruction of Team Taz. He had that match with Walter Hobbs. Walter Hobbs, is that his name?
Walter Hobbs.
Is it Walter Hobbs?
Will Hobbs.
Walter Hobbs. Walter Hobbs is from Elf. And this is what annoys me all the time. He's the dad in Elf, and I always go to say Walter Hobbs, and it really
honestly though,
me
off. That guy, that motherfucker would be terrifying in the ring. I wouldn't mess with him.
Yeah, he's willing to take books from orphans, damn it. You know, you don't want to mess with that. But yeah, so yeah, I don't know. I think maybe misused is the wrong word. I think he's off TV at the minute, which isn't necessarily a bad thing. They've got a lot of new talent and stuff. You don't want him to get lost in the shuffle. I think he can still do some good stuff going forward. He is obviously very talented, but yeah, it feels a bit weird for it to come out and say that now, that he's just lost the FTW championship and he's just been away from TV for like 2 weeks. But
as a comparison, like I would say Lance Archer's been more misused than he has. And both of them have had decent TV time, but I would say Lance Archer's been more misused. So,
yeah,
you know, we could list many people who haven't, like, again, so what we're saying is they haven't had a world title run.
Yeah.
You've had plenty of TV time, you just haven't had any championships. Part of the FTW championship.
I'll agree with that.
Yeah. So, I mean, it might technically be a work. It might be that he's going to come back with this whole thing, like, being utilised and wanting to prove a point. I don't know.
Maybe she will come back with him as, like, a valet. Who knows?
Yeah. Could we see another attempt at TNT title? Because I think he had one once before.
He did, for a little bit, yeah.
So
or did
we
he?
See that again?
Or did
like
he
has had a match. I do feel like it.
I don't know if he won it. I think that's why he ended up with the FTW Championship. I could be wrong. Who knows?
No, he definitely hasn't won the title, but like I feel like he's had an opportunity. And I think if he came back now and had a feud with Miro, I'd be all for that.
Like, that is a good feud, to be fair. Like, I'd be happy to see that. True stuff.
Well, now I don't want him to have it because his wife's moaning. kidding.
It's not kidding.
So the next one's me, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
So I love these sort of these feel-good stories, Carl. So we all remember Al Snow from WWE fame, absolute legend in the business. On top of that, Carl, he's also saved a little boy's life. Very recently, he, I don't know, what a fantastic guy. I mean, it's one of them where you go, like, it's a crazy situation, and I'm sure I like to think that anyone would do the same. But the fact of the matter is, you know, he saw something, he realized the basically the little lad was in the ocean. Al could see that sort of the waves hitting or whichever. He recognized that there was like a bit of a riptide pulling him out. And he also recognised that the lifeguard was never going to make it there in time, which is just fantastic. Like, honestly, you go, how he was so in tune to all that is just amazing in itself. So he's, with no regard to his safety, he's dove in there. And he said there was a point where, you know, he felt like they might both go. Like, he's trying to save the lad, but he could also feel the waves pulling him at that point. But luckily, he managed to get the lad to safety, managed to get himself to safety. And just an all-around just feel-good sort of story. And it just needs mentioning because what a guy, you know. And I think even he referenced the fact that, like, it was almost reminiscent, sadly, of the Shad Gaspard situation. And I think that's when he was, like, you know, he realised how risky it could be and how he could have gone as well, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But he couldn't know himself in that situation for the sake of saving the kid. And you've got to do nothing but respect that. That's, you know. What a guy they both did, you know what I mean? Like, Shad's amazing. Like, that's an incredibly sad story, but, you know, it's, I wanted to mention this one. It's, you know, amazing to see. What a guy Al Snow is.
It just goes to show, like, how, you know, different the outcome could have been. Obviously, we know from the terrible loss of Shad that, you know, it could, and for him to say as well, like, he felt it pulling him away at one point as well, and, you know, luckily he managed to get him to shore. But, you know, heroes are, you know, sometimes don't end up coming back, you know, unfortunately. And, you know, Shad unfortunately went on to die a hero, and Al is, you know, gone on to live a hero. And
that's no thingy, because it's like, it is just basically luck that, I think even I'll admit that, you know, it's just the situation at the time, do you know what I mean? But there's a bit of an article on Wrestling Inc. if anyone wants to read the quotes from Al, but like, just so you can get an idea of how touch and go it was at one point, because he said, like, he managed to catch the kid, like, just by the arm as the wave started to pull him even further out. So if he'd not have grabbed him at that point, he probably would have gone out to sea, and that would have been it. And that just shows you how in the nick of time it actually was. And it's just, like, a very scary situation, but luckily a very positive outcome.
Yeah, and I think, you know, if anything, it shines a spotlight and highlights, you know, the dangers of fucking being in the ocean and being in the sea, and, you know, you really need to be careful.
Without a doubt,
it can be super dangerous, you know, it's as you so come to sea. Well, but, isn't it? You
play in the sea at one point and suddenly that, like, crazy.
Yeah. But no.
But, no, hats off to you, Alman.
Customary on the show, Al.
You were a legend anyway.
Absolute legend. Okay, so the next one to talk about, Anthony, is close to my heart, of course. Anyone who knows me knows I'm a massive Florida fanboy. Fucking love the place. I'm hoping to go next year. Please, COVID, let me go. But if I go...
Please, COVID, trap me there. That's probably what
you're saying. Well, you know, if I can't come home, then...
Sorry, you can't fly back. You'll have to stay here at Disney.
But, no, so... A deal has been agreed now between AEW and Universal Studios Orlando, and similar to the Impact setup from back in the day, AEW is now going to take over a soundstage at Universal Studios.
What's Carl doing in the AEW zone?
Well, Anthony, it's funny you say that. They're actually calling it the AEW Dark Zone or something they're calling it.
Dark Zone, love it.
So, yeah, so they are actually going with the whole zone thing as well. But I believe the first set of tapings have already happened there already. So, similar setup. Obviously, I've been to see Impact in Orlando as well. Fantastic, you know, experience. Got to see the likes of... I've been a couple of times. I got Samoa Joe and Jeff Jarrett fighting at my feet at one point in the audience, which was hella awesome. And obviously, another time... Didn't get anyone in the crowd, but got to see the likes of Hulk Hogan and stuff like that. And
Baffling as well. Cause
met Jeff Hardy. As we know.
I remember, like, because Samoa Joe, like, don't be wrong, he was probably a big deal on Impact, but he was, like, not as well known as he is now. So you kind of saw him before he peaked in the WWE, which is insane.
Yeah.
And that's probably the same for quite a few that you saw. They were, like, went on to be things, and you got to see them when they were in Orlando.
No, definitely. I think as well, obviously, there's no... Other than the price of admission to get into Universal... In fact, is it in Universal Studios? I think it is, actually. I don't think it's on City Walk. So, you know, other than the price of admission of having a ticket, it's free. So you can just go and fucking...
go to it. Hello, Carl, giving the detail here. What you do, like, you go in there, yeah, you go straight back, I'll take a left.
Ask for Bill. And then
sure stand, you've gone too far.
But no, you know, obviously, I've been there a couple of times. I've loved it every single time. I think it's a wonderful venue for wrestling. You know, even prior to the Impact days, you know, they used to have wrestling back in there many, many years ago. WCW had stuff in there going on. So, you know, I think Tony Khan's come out as well and said that...
Disney did as well. We all remember the infamous Snow White versus Cinderella match.
I know, a death match as well. Jeez. Who would have thought they would have got it with the apple? Crazy shit. But no, I think it's a fantastic experience. I think Tony Khan's come out and said as well he's wanting to make it more like the old WCW style show as opposed to, you know, TNA when it was there. So
on that note, here's David Arquette.
Wrestling's not fake. As we found out when he nearly died via Nick Gage. Any of my fellow Orlando fanboys, definitely check it out if you manage to get to Universal Orlando anytime soon. And hopefully I'll be there next year and I'll be able to check it out myself and see some wonderful people in AW Dark live in person. So, yeah, wonderful news. Great for Orlando, great for AW, and great for Universal Studios.
Indeed. Right, so Carl, next one. News, but one we need to talk about on a level. So, and this is more just like, let's bitch about something for a minute. So, recently, on the most recent episode of SmackDown, it just happens to coincide with 9/11, so they did their sort of tribute to obviously that horrible tragedy. One element of that, which is something I never actually knew until all this kind of kicked off, was that Selena Vega's father was actually, he sadly lost his life at 9/11, so Michael Trinidad. Mm-hmm. He sadly passed away, so obviously 20 years ago. And some of what you want to do, there was a match planned on SmackDown. I believe it was a tag match, which was teaming with Carmella. And she, like, it wasn't like she was going to come out and do a big speech or anything, but like she'd specifically tailored her attire that evening to pay tribute to her father, having earlier done the WWE, been involved in WWE sort of tribute to all that. And then for whatever reason, WWE decided to just sort of nix the match. And a lot of people have took issue with this, mostly because there was really very bare minimum. I don't even think there was an actual women's match on the card at all, actually. I know there was some interaction with Becky Lynch, but I don't think we actually had a match. But a lot of people have questioned the decision to remove this one. We had plenty of different matches on the cards. A lot of people have alluded to the male tag team match, forgive, because I should remember who was in it. But a lot of people have suggested that like there were other matches that could opt, and why they chose to drop this one just feels massively disrespectful. Mm-hmm. On top of that, the suggestion as well was the match was meant to include Toni Storm, who has literally, since she moved to the main roster, had one SmackDown, has not been seen since, and then had this match cut. So it makes you wonder what the fuck's going on with Toni Storm's main roster run. We just don't know. But what do you make of this card? How do you find it? Like, do you think it was like, I wouldn't say it was necessarily deliberately disrespectful, but it just feels like a bit of a kick in the teeth, especially when they must have known that Thea was sort of hyped to sort of have that attire and pay some level of tribute like that.
I think it was massively shitty. I think if anyone deserved to be on that show, it was going to be Thea. I think obviously losing her dad in the actual, you know, I think he was part of the what was it? Fucking Ladder 11 or whatever the fuck it was. Terrible for memory, but he was part of the fire services that went there. Unfortunately, was
and that's the thing. Like, I feel bad because I genuinely never knew that until, like, obviously this year when I've seen her being involved in those sort of those speeches and obviously wanting to do this and all this controversy around this match. I didn't even know, but
I mean,
obviously the guy was a hero and she wanted to pay some tribute to him, and like, you know, very tragically she lost her dad that day, and just feel like a shitty move on WWE's
part. I mean, it feels like if they're going to do a tribute show, and I'm not saying like, oh, they should milk it and just put her on the show because of that and stuff, but it seemed like a wonderful opportunity for her, you know, with, you know, losing her parents in the tragedy and stuff like that, to be able to give back. And, you know, everybody, you know, quite rightfully, everybody is fuming about it, you know, and they should be. I think it's terrible for her. You know, she, if you look at the whole situation she's been in, she signed a contract when she thought, you know, Alistair was going to still be there. He's fucked off. She's still there. She's not getting used. And then doesn't even get used in something like this. So, yeah, obviously a lot of the, I think all the talent who was going to be in the match have gone on Twitter and basically, you know, left some sort of comments basically showing that they weren't happy with the match being cut. And I think to your point, there was other things they could have got rid of.
Well, it actually, from a fan point of view, it actually led to give SD women a chance as a hashtag, and that was trending and remained trending well after SmackDown as well. So a lot of people weren't happy with this. Vega actually tweeted out photos of her gear, the gear she was going to wear, with just the caption, "Never mind." So she's obviously very disappointed with it as well. But like you say, it's caused a lot of... I want to say backlash, but like, I don't want to be too sort of thinking on backlash because I don't think it's going to affect WWE too much, but I wish it would.
Yeah, I mean, I think if it takes a big, you know, a fucking hashtag trending, if it takes the hashtag trending somewhere,
trending on Twitter,
you pesky wabbit, if it takes a hashtag trending somewhere on Twitter to get WWE to see sense, then that in itself is part of the problem. I think we've both been quite vocal to say after this whole, you know, give women a chance and the women's evolution and all, it's bullshit. It's gone now. It was a media stunt that they did and they don't care about it anymore. It's very clear.
At the clear implication, like Mickey essentially pitched Evolution 2 to WWE. Mm-hmm. They weren't interested because it doesn't make money. and she's had to go and, I'm not saying she did Evolution 2 at Impact, but she's basically done a sort of brainchild of that women's pay-per-view with NWA and done Empower, and look how fantastic it's been. Like, they totally missed the ball on that.
Yeah. But no, I feel for all four of the women who didn't get the opportunity to put on a show. You know, it's not just Zelina, obviously the likes of Liv Morgan, Carmella, Toni Storm. You know, Toni Storm's run's been horrendous. I think they panicked and brought her up because they thought, well, shit, you know, we haven't got that many women on SmackDown at the minute because Sasha's stuff's going on with her and Becky's, you know, what's going to happen with Becky and Bayley's injured. And so they panicked, and then obviously they brought Becky back and then here we are. So
I mean, I'm not even sure, like, because like Tony's been seen probably the least, but like it's not like we're seeing Shotty either. Quite a great deal.
That's a good point, to be
fair.
She's
around somewhere.
I mean, Tony's been seen twice. She was originally seen like the first day, and then nothing of her.
Took a loss to Selena.
Yeah, came in.
Take a win to Selena, but either way, she had a
match. Yeah, she came in. She was in one match, disappeared for weeks, then came back and was like had a weird backstage segment with Dolph Ziggler where he was trying to hit on her, and it was like,
fuck. Yeah, I forgot about that.
It was like, right, okay. So that's all we've seen. So yeah, by and large, they just don't give a fuck, and it's a shame. So massive, you know, respect and, you know, stuff to Zelina's dad for everything. You know, he's a hero for what he's done. And just massive condolences, the fact she couldn't get to honour him on that night. And, you know, shame on WWE.
Yeah, indeed.
So the last one to talk about this week. Samoa Joe has vacated the WWE NXT title.
This guy.
That guy right there. He basically was announced that due to certain injuries, you know, he's been told he has to take a step back and away from the ring for a brief but indeterminate amount of time. He realizes that this week they are on the cusp of a new NXT, on the brink of a new era in the history, and that era deserves a fighting champion, which makes it difficult, a difficult decision for effective immediately. He relinquishes the NXT championship, and best of luck to those who will vie for it. My sincerest condolences to whoever wins, because I'll be along shortly to recollect what is mine. So yeah, he's injured. Like either way, right?
I don't want to be disrespectful. Can he have a match without being injured? Because well, like this is like the first match he's had back, and now he's injured again.
There's two streams here, right? And I don't want to, you know, one of them's controversial and whatever, right? But ultimately, to your point, if he's got injured again straight away in his first match back, he shouldn't be in the ring. So maybe he needs to hang it up. And it's a horrible thing to say.
He was doing well on commentary as well. I don't know why they've, like, let's pull him off commentary, bring him back to it. Or let's pull him off commentary, sack him, rehire him, bring him back to NXT, put him in some sort of managerial role, and then bring him back to the ring and then injure him. Like, what the fuck?
So, you know, Avenue 1, you know, terrible circumstances, but maybe Joe needs to just hang it up. If he's that injury prone, maybe it's his time, unfortunately. It's not a decision anyone wants to make, but maybe that is the decision made for him. The controversial one, on the other hand, is he injured? What a convenient timing for the relaunch of NXT when they don't want to be relying on independent talent and all that good stuff, and they want to, you know, do their own thing, etc. Is it just, you know, coincidental timing that as they're about to do a relaunch, they get rid of the champion who doesn't stand for things they want the brand to be about? Now, it's a very conspiracy theory-based theory, but I don't know. Does it hold some weight? I think based on everything we know about that rebrand and why they're doing it and stuff, you know, Samoa Joe is very much a Triple H guy. WWE sacked him. Triple H was like, I want to bring you back. And by all accounts, Triple H doesn't have as much pull anymore. Obviously, he's still meant to be running the show, as is Shawn Michaels and Matt Bloom and so on and so forth. But Vince and Bruce are apparently the ones properly producing it now. So who knows? Maybe they said we don't want Joe as the champ. Don't know.
It's difficult because I'll be really annoyed if it's like a booking decision, but at the same time, I don't want the guy to be injured, so it's kind of a relief if it's a booking decision. It's a weird one, that. But let's pull away from that. That's the case, right? They've gone, title's vacated, let's have a tournament. How fucking shit is this tournament?
who do you want to win this? It's got to be done, right? Because everyone else is only fucking done. Shit.
I don't care, right? I don't care about you fucking Kyle O'Reilly fanboys, right? he's not good. Right? He never has been. People like massively hyped him up. He was the weakest one in the Undisputed Era. And then you went, let's have him have some matches with Adam Cole. I don't think it legitimized him. I'm not a fan, and I don't think he should have the NXT title. I feel like they might go that way. But let's say, all right, Kyle O'Reilly, as much as I'm not a fan, they have gone, well, we've put the work in, so he deserves to be in the title scene. Okay, I can live with that. Tommaso has been around forever, and fuck it, why not? Let's throw him in there as well. Okay, fine. Pete Dunne, I actually want him in there. Brill. Fantastic choice. Let's have that. So let's have a triple threat. Nah, let's throw LA Knight in there as well. Why? Just because, you know, he had some matches with Cameron Grimes, so naturally he's ready for a title shot. The fuck is that?
I think he's winning it, you know.
If he wins it, right, I'm not going to review NXT anymore.
I legit think he's winning it. I don't think they give it to Ciampa. I don't think they give it to Dunn. So it's going to be one of the two worst possible outcomes that we can imagine, and I think they might just go for him.
I will live with any other decision. If LA Knight wins the title on the back of literally no booking at all and no build at all, I am not going to be reviewing NXT anymore. We'll remove it from the show.
Well, I mean, WWE are doing the best to remove it from television at this point. So
I will only review NXT 1.0.
Well, I mean, that in itself, apparently they are going to start calling it NXT 2.0. I don't know whether that's going to be like, you know, fan-facing or just internally, but it seems like they might be going with the, you know, they are going to mention it on air and stuff, so who knows?
I think that's fucking stupid. Yeah. It's like we've patched a few issues, so now it's NXT 2.5.
I mean, the funny thing is, this isn't even 2.0, this is like fucking 6, 7.0. Like, that many different formats, you know, this is 2.0, right, okay. And the funny thing is, there's now a new tag team who's getting quite a bit of traction in AEW called 2.0, so it's like... Are you stupid?
Re-advertising.
Yeah. Who were formerly in NXT. So, yeah, perfect.
We're actually quite good in NXT.
Yeah.
But, the releases. Yeah. So, you know, whatever the choice was with Samoa Joe, it's a bit strange if it was a booking thing because it's so sudden, but genuinely hope he's not injured again because, like you say, it really makes you think, well, should he be in the ring? Because that's like his first step back into the ring and he's ended up injured again, which isn't great. And I actually enjoyed him on commentary, so it's not to say he's done in the wrestling biz.
No.
But,
It is a proper tough one, without knowing all the, you know, the truth behind it all and stuff like that. Like, if it is an injury, then legitimately we feel proper sorry for him, because, you know, no one wants to get injured on your first match back, and so it's kind of like, well, is it the end?
But if Pete Dunne doesn't win this tournament, then I'm going to try and get my own hashtag trending.
Give Pete Dunne a chance.
Justice for Pete.
Justice for Pete. I like it. So that was the news this week. Very varied, you know, set of news there for everybody. But, yeah, you know, whether it is Al Snow being a fucking absolute legend of a hero, whether it is Zelina Vega's dad obviously being a hell of a hero, and unfortunately her not getting the opportunity to honour him on SmackDown this week. Whether it is Triple H, obviously, who our thoughts are with after undergoing a cardiac event, or everything else in between, Ric Flair going to AEW, a lot of rumours, a lot of news, Kevin Owens contract up, Angel Garza contract up. So, yeah, a lot of stuff going on. Another fun-filled episode of the Ringside Report. And coming up, Anthony, I'm ready. Are you ready? We don't do these often, but when we do them, we fucking do them. We're coming up with Whiskey and Wrestling, Volume 4, 18 months of A to the K coming up next. And doesn't time fly? So we will be back after these wonderful messages. Listen to the beeps.
You're watching or listening
to A to the K.
A to the K.
These guys are awesome. Check it out.
Change your life. You'll be thanking me later.